Good morning, church family. On Sunday, the 27th of September, I hope you and your family are well and you know God's grace in your life. Sitting in the sun this morning, well, it was sunny. It's a bit overcast at the moment in my overgrown garden. I heard this terrible joke the other day that was exposure to the sun, S-O-N, prevents burning. It's a terrible dad joke. But I love those kind of jokes. So I thought I'd share it with us all. One bit of church news for us this morning. We have our harvest service coming up next Sunday, the 4th of October, if you can believe it or not. And as a church, we're going to be giving donations to the food bank. So if you have some food and tins and a bag of shopping that you want to give to the food bank, we'll be accepting donations on Saturday, the 3rd, between 10 a.m. and 12 noon. In the main church building, so if you can come and drop that off with us, then you'll also be able to pick up a BMS envelope to give to BMS, as we do each year as well. You'll also be able to give to them online over their website. God is good, and he is building his church, and he's at work in amazing and often unseen ways. And I was reminded about this amazing truth this week, as I was phoning around and seeing how people were doing, and I was speaking to someone, and they were sharing with me that every day they had been phoning and keeping in touch with someone who had been in and around the church, but they weren't just seeing how they were and checking in on them. They were every day reading their daily devotions with them over the phone and reading scripture with them. Every day they had their set time. And they would phone each other to read through their devotions. God is at work, and he is great in building his church in unseen ways. In the midst of the COVID ever-changing lockdown landscape with restrictions changing each week, God is unchanging. He is sovereign. He is all-powerful. And he is building his church, and he, by his grace, invites us to be instruments in his building. Psalm 16, just before we worship God together, Psalm 16 says, "My heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul or let your Holy One see corruption." We rejoice, we give thanks to God, and thank God for the worship team that we each week are able to, in this way, with the technology we have, sing Christ exalting songs and words with each other like this. So Al is now going to lead us in worship.
Your glory like a fire. Thank you. Yes, Father, we put all our trust in you. You have done great things, and you will do even greater. And we place all our confidence in you, none in ourselves, none in anybody else or anything else, but just you. We look to you in expectation and in faith. And I pray in Jesus' mighty name that you will let faith arise in us as a church, that we would that we would step boldly forward, knowing that you are with us. We just want to follow your lead. Holy Spirit, come and lead us deeper into what you have for us as a family, that we would be more trusting, that we would just choose to surrender all of our lives to you. Not just the bits that come easier, but all of our lives, the stuff that comes really, that's really difficult to give up. We give it all to you. We abandon ourselves to you, for you are our great God, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mark is now going to share with us from Genesis 22. Abraham tested a chapter that is deeply challenging and amazing and mind-blowing, a chapter all about unequivocal, absolute, costly obedience to God above all else. In the first verse of Genesis 22, God calls Abraham, and Abraham responds, "Here I am." Abraham was ready. He was there for God's instructions, for God's calling and leading. And here we are this morning, ready, listening, eager to hear God's voice through his word, through his servant Mark this morning, to strengthen us where we are weak. If our eyes have fallen from him and we feel weak in faith through lockdown, that we would know faith, that God would bless us with commitment and obedience to him, to deepen our roots in him this morning. The sun is out. The sun is out now. Before Mark shares, let's pray together. Lord, here we are before you, ready to know you and experience you, to hear your voice through your word this morning. You are good, you're merciful, you're gracious, you're a perfect, just, holy God. May we know you more this morning in our lives. Give us strength where we're weak. Bless us with faith, Lord, that we would focus on you, that we would know this unequivocal, costly obedience to you and no one and nothing else but you, Lord. Bind us to you this morning, we pray. Amen.
Hello, everyone, and welcome again to EMBC at Home. A few weeks ago, we had tried a kind of bit of a different format, kind of joint, kind of introducing the services, recording it from the church office. But then last week, Rory had a cold, so we're all avoiding him. And this week, well, I'm back at home because one of the girls in Jessica's class tested positive for COVID, and she sits quite near this girl in three classes. And so we are on, what do they call it, self-isolating. So Thursday's Freedom Day. We get to go back out on Thursday. These are just the situations we're having to deal with just now. The last few weeks, we've been looking at a new way of living, you know, following Jesus as we live connected, be transformed, and change our world, and believing as we do so that we will grow in our own walk of faith, but also believing and praying that we'll see a move of the Spirit and people coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. And so this is what we've been looking at over the last few weeks. And whenever you get any sense of a calling or a vision or a direction, of course, it takes commitment, it takes focus, to stay dedicated to that journey that you go on. And so we've been thinking about what that means for us over the last few weeks. And as we come into God's word this morning, the story that we come to look at speaks very powerfully into what it means to kind of walk out and be committed to God's calling on your life. We're back in Genesis 22. Just for one more time, for just now, we're going to look at the life of Abraham. And we're going to be in Genesis chapter 22. And it's probably one of the most dramatic stories in the Bible. You know, God gives Abraham a vision for his life. It's going to bless his life. It's personal. He's going to bless the nation that is birthed from him. So it's national, but he's also going to bless all the nations. So it's international as well. And we've walked with Abraham as we went through Genesis. And we've seen how he's tried to stay focused and stay committed to the promises from God. You know, we've journeyed with him and Sarah when they left and travelled many miles away from their home, but also travelled a great distance in their faith, as their faith and trust in God has grown. You know, think back, you know, we found Abraham, you know, living this kind of polytheistic life, and he was called out to worship the one true creator, God. We've walked with him through all these ups and downs. You know, we've seen him, you know, run off at a time of famine to Egypt and kid on to the Pharaoh that Sarah was his daughter. And then we saw him making that same mistake years later. We saw how he got ahead of God's plan for his life and slept with his servant Hagar to produce an heir, when all along God had been saying to him, it is from Sarah, you know, Sarah and you will have a child, and this child will be the heir, the promised child to carry on this great line, this great promise of many generations to come. But we've also saw how Abraham's faith has grown, you know, how he's, you know, how he left God, how he's followed God, how he dealt so wisely with his troublesome nephew, how he was able to courageously rally that army to stand against this bullying group of kings that came against him. But today, in Genesis 22, we find him facing his greatest test of all. Now, maybe today you are facing some sort of a testing situation. Certainly, as a nation, internationally, we still face a very testing situation. But God is going to give you something from his word today. He's going to give something to each of us from his word today, because we will see that Abraham faced the most unimaginable test from God, and he faced it trusting in God's promises and God's provision in his life. So get your Bible. If you need a pause, pause and go and get your Bible. And we're going to be reading from Genesis chapter 22 through to verse 19. And Mona is going to read this Bible verse for us today.
Hi everyone. Hope you're all doing okay. Today's reading is from Genesis 22. Sometime later, God tested Abram. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son, Isaac. When he cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on your boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abram stayed in Beersheba.
Thank you, Morna, for reading to us there from Genesis 22. When you go on and read the last few verses, you'll read about how Abraham, as time passes, hears about his brother and the children that his brothers had and their children. And one of the names that appears in that list is Rebecca. Really important that, because of course Rebecca would go on to be the wife of Isaac. God tested Abraham. And I just want to say something about this. There's a big difference between testing and temptation. God tests us to strengthen us. We read, you know, Moses kind of looking back and recounting the journey that the people of Israel had been on through the wilderness. It says this in Deuteronomy 8. "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands." You know, God tests us to draw us closer to him at times and to strengthen us. But the devil tempts us to lead us away from God. That's the difference. Temptation leads us away. Testing can lead us closer. And that's why we must flee any temptation that comes into our lives. But you might read the story of Genesis 22 and think possibly this is quite cruel. You know, why would God ask Abraham to sacrifice his son? You know, this is the promised child, the miracle child that would be born to them in their old age. But if we think about the story only on that sort of level, then we're thinking about it only on the surface level, because this is actually an immense story of one man's incredible trust in the promise and in the provision of God. So let's get into the story, and see where we're at. Isaac could well have been a teenager by now. Abraham and Sarah would have doted on him, you know, born in their old age, never thought they were going to be able to have a child. And so they would have doted on him. And he was going to be the sort of next step in that great promise of national and international blessing. And then God speaks. Abraham calls his name. And it must have been such a clear communication from God, because what God asks of him is massive. You take your one, your only son, and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. Verse 3, we read that there's no hesitation. Next day, Abraham's up with Isaac, two of their servants, a donkey, and they're on their way. But as you read the story and as we heard the story, you notice it's very silent on what Abraham could have been thinking. And we can wonder, can't we, at what was going through his mind. And again, probably most of us would naturally move to the question, why? Why are you asking me to do this, God? Why, you know, when why has this got to happen? You know, times are testing. That's often where we can go. Why God? Why me? Why did this have to happen? Why do I have to do this? But I believe this story reveals a much deeper question that Abraham was asking. And that is the question, what? What are you saying to me, God? What are you teaching me, God, in this situation? And one of the New Testament writers captures, I think, where Abraham's thinking was. We read it in Hebrews 11. Let me read these verses to you from verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned, Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Abraham embraced the promises of God. This is a word for us today. Embrace the promises of God. You know, when you embrace something, you hold tightly to it. You don't let go of it. And we hear about Abraham holding tightly to the promises of God. And so I believe as Abraham was walking along, I believe he was thinking about all those times God had said to him, you're going to have a son. And you're going to be the father of a great nation. And I believe as he was walking along, he was thinking about the promise of God to him. And he's thinking, what are you teaching me? What are you teaching me? I believe God was teaching him that his promises are true. And he can trust in God's promises. You know, God has spoken this promise to him so many times. And look what happens in verse 5 in your Bible. When he gets to the mountain, he says to the servants, wait there, we will worship, then we will come back to you. See, Abraham was going up that hill believing that Isaac was going to be coming back down with him. And even if, as we read in Hebrews 11, that involved Isaac being raised from the dead. You know, what has God taught him? That his promises are true. And his faith has grown through all the years. Walking up that hill, he knows God's promises are true. Maybe in a testing time that you find yourself in, you know, as a nation, I know many people are asking, why is this happening? But maybe there's something that you're in and you're asking, why? There is a better question. It's sometimes a harder question, but it takes us to a place of growing and drawing closer to God. What are you saying to me, God? It could be quite simply for you today, you just need to know that God's got a hold of you, that you're his child, and that his promises are true. You know, it takes courage to ask that question. You know, so often when we're in a testing time, and there's nothing wrong with this, but so often, understand, we want to get out of it. We want to move on from it. But sometimes to have that courage to say, okay, God, I want to move on from this, but what are you saying to me in this moment? What are you teaching me in this moment? Abraham, tested by God, stands on the promises of God. As we move on, they get to the foot of the hill. Engage your imagination here. Imagine what this must have been like. They're going up the hill. The wood is placed on Isaac. Abraham's carrying the fire, maybe a wee pot of hot embers. He's holding the knife in his hand. Maybe his hand starts to sweat holding that knife. They're going up and up and up. They go, it's silence. And it's Isaac that breaks the silence, which with a very understandable question. Because his father's told them that they're going to make a burnt offering. And they're walking up that hill. Maybe they're getting closer to the top. And Isaac asks the obvious question because he realizes something missing. He's like, where is the lamb for the offering? And Abraham says these amazing words. God himself, verse 8, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. See how he's trusting on God to provide. They get up there, they built an altar, You know, Isaac's bound, he's placed on it. There's no record of him struggling in any way at all. And I wonder, and this is just my own thoughts, does he look at his dad? Does he see such faith and trust in his dad that he's thinking, okay, dad says, you know, the Lord will provide. I know that's going to happen. That's good enough for me. And you know, I find that deeply challenging. You know, what example of trust am I passing on? But the knife is drawn. You know, the son is lying on the altar. The fire is ready to burn him up. And the voice comes again. Abraham. And just like right at the start, he responds in the same way. Here I am. And whenever God calls us, that is a great way to respond. Here I am. You know, think of the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, he said that incredible vision from God and God's calling on his life. And he says, here am I, send me. Verse 12, God commends, God celebrates his faith and commitment and reverent fear of Abraham. Verse 13, there's the ram in the bush and he goes over and they sacrifice the ram instead of Isaac. Verse 14, Abraham calls the place, the Lord will provide, and in doing so gives us one of the great names of God, Jehovah Jireh. You know, the Lord will provide. Literally it means the Lord will see to it. Now Abraham trusted in the promises of God, but he also trusted that God would provide. That phrase, the Lord will provide, it means so much more than what our English language captures. It means that the Lord will see it. God sees, God knows. It means that God perceives and experiences the situation. Maybe a more modern word we would use is empathy, that ability to share the feelings of others. And Abraham isn't just saying, you know, God provides, you just go and he gives you something and that's it. Well, thanks God. It's much, much deeper. Abraham's saying, you know, God, you've seen, God, you've known, God, you've experienced all that I've gone through here and you've provided. It seems deeply, deeply personal. You know, so much I could say in this today, but let me just make a few more comments on this. God knows in your time of testing, he knows what to provide for you just at the right time. Maybe not what you want, but certainly what you need. And his provision comes at a perfect time. No, the knife was drawn and God spoke. No, I can only speak from experience. I have been amazed at times through the years at just the right time God has provided. Just the right time he's provided me a word from his word that I've needed. At just the right time he's maybe provided a person that I've needed to talk to. At just the right time, a situation has opened or a situation has closed. At just the right time, there's maybe been some sort of material help that has come on. I could go on and on so many times. At just the right time, Jehovah Jireh, God has provided. The other thing, and I just said it there, that we need to notice, and it's so obvious, but it's so important. It is God that provides. It is God that steps in and provides. You remember when we were going through the book of Philippians, that great verse, I can do all things through him, through Christ, through God who gives me strength. You know, God is the giver. God provides and it's in him that we trust. So here is Abraham in this, I mean, incredible place of testing. It's such a dramatic story. Go, take your only son and sacrifice him. But he's trusting in the promises of God and he's trusting in the provision of God. He knows, God, you will see to it. You know, life has testing moments. We can't avoid them. What is possible, though, is to face them, trusting in the promises and the provision of God. And in that place, in some way, life becomes less difficult. And what I mean by that is the sense that you know you're not facing the test or the trial or the situation alone. You know that God is with you. Not all testing, of course, not all testing situations come into our life are from God. Sometimes the result of living in this fallen world, sometimes the result of other people's actions, sometimes the result of our own actions. But God is there. God is there. You know, at the end of this incredible story, we read again of God just reaffirming his covenant promise to Abraham. I'll bless you. I'll bless your descendants. You know, all the nations of earth. And we also see, though, how God's provisions still working into the future. When we hear the mention of the name Rebekah, who would become Isaac's wife at a later date. But I just want to finish with you with two final comments. Verse 18, because you obeyed me. You know, obedience to God isn't something that's boring or lame or something negative. Obedience to God is the most radical and courageous thing you can do in your life. And it will lead you into some, it will actually lead you into some of the most testing situations in your life, where you've had to, where you know you can't rely on your feelings, you can't rely on the people around you, you can only actually rely on God and his calling on your life. And that's why we need to trust in the promises and the provision of God. God celebrates Abraham's radical obedience. But where do we see the greatest example of obedience in the Bible? Well, we see it in the life of Jesus, don't we? And we're going to reflect a bit more on that if you can join us on our communion Zoom time tonight at 6:30. But this story is a great father and son story. But it looks to the future, though. It points to the greatest father and son story. You know, at one point, Isaac says, "Where is the lamb?" And in the New Testament, John the Baptist, when he sees Jesus, he says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And that is the greatest father and son story that we read in God's Word. God the Father giving his Son to be in our place. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Just like God provided the sacrifice in place of Isaac, God has provided the sacrifice in place of our sins, his Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, God will provide for your daily needs and your daily challenges, but he has provided for your eternity. Through the death and the resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ, he has made a way for you to come back into relationship with him. And so I'd encourage you today to open your heart to the fullness of God's provision, his saving provision in your life. You know, I need to stop. I could keep going. This is just such an amazing story. I wonder what their conversation was when they were coming back down that hill. Was Isaac saying to him, "Did you know? Did you know this was going to happen when we get up here?" You know, I'm sure there was definitely excitement and joy and worship and praise to God. But let me finish though by just bringing you right back to maybe where you are at today. What provision do you need in your life today from God that only God can bring? What is an essential need in your life today that only God can bring? You know, ask yourself, isn't it something emotional? Is it strength for your mind battling negative thoughts? Is it hope because you're feeling a bit hopeless? Is it endurance because your strength is gone? Is it asking God to change your perspective of a challenge that has come into your life? Maybe it is the courage to ask, you know, "God, what are you teaching me in this moment? I believe you're going to lead me on out of this." You know, Abraham and Isaac came out of that testing situation, but they had learned so much through it. Maybe it's something quite concrete that you need in your life today, a job or some other breakthrough in a situation. bring it to him. And we're just going to pray for that in a moment before we go back into worship. We're just going to pray for God to just meet you where you're at today in your life. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. And we just quieten ourselves now. He's telling your word to be still and know that I am God. We are still. You are present. Word of God, speak into our lives. What an incredible story in Genesis 22. An immense story of a man who trusted fully in your promises and in your provision. And Father God, right now, we just pray. Right now, where we're at in our homes, we just bring that one or maybe a few essential thing to you that we know that only you can provide. Lord, we're trusting in your supernatural provision in our life today. And so whatever it is, just give that to God. Whatever it might, whatever, however small, however big. Whatever that one thing is, God's maybe laying on your heart. Just give it to him. You know, Abraham walked up that mountain, fire in hand, you know, knife in hand, knowing that God was going to provide. And I just pray for you today that you would just know God's provision in your life. Maybe today though, I mean, one of the things that this story challenges me deeply on in my own life is just Abraham's commitment to respond to the call of God on his life. And maybe that's for you today. Maybe God has spoken and you've heard, you know, maybe not the audible voice like Abraham said, but maybe through opening God's word or some other way you've just heard God saying, you know, speak into your life, you know, respond to him, say, here I am, and walk out. And that might require radical obedience for you. But as you do that, know the promises of God. If God's laying a promise on your heart, it's going to be true. And also know that, you know, often when we're in that place of just radical obedience, but everything else is stripped away, that's when God's there providing all that we need. So we're going to worship God together, and we're going to go back to the worship team, and let's just lift our voices in praise and worship to him, and then we'll be back to Rory to bring our service to a close.
moves around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you.
You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 Stop working, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
Thank you all so much for tuning in this morning. What an amazing passage that reminds us God provides in all things, in the trials that we face in life, God provides. And he uses them to grow us, that we would focus on him more and be obedient to him more. Luna just saw a bird and she's protected the garden from the bird. So she's very proud of herself. But God uses all things, the situation we're in just now with the pandemic. Trust and know God is absolutely using it in his, for his ways and his purposes. And let's be praying. How is he using it? What is it that we have to learn from this time? Be praying about that. There's an opportunity for that tonight, to be praying together as church family over Zoom at 6:30, and we're going to be sharing communion together as well. Get in touch if you need the Zoom details for that. The staff team or Al will be able to send you those. They're the same as the previous weeks if you've tuned in before. But until then, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.